For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 29th, 1983. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bob Mixon is the teacher of the morning.
The country to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, our God is sure to give the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, our God is sure to give the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, our God is sure to give the victory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say this with me. We are able to go up and take the country, to possess all that God has promised in ourselves, in our land, and in the earth. Father, we thank you that we are the seed of Abraham. We thank you that all things of the kingdom of God belong to us. Father, we give ourselves to that task and to that purpose, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You sit down. Glory. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This whole camp meeting, I've been surprised at how the Lord's led me. You know, you think one day, well, I know, I kind of feel like the Lord's going to be doing this tomorrow, and then you get up and the Lord says, hold on a second, and you end up going a different direction. I've found myself reading in Scripture I hadn't read in a year, and seeing things I hadn't seen in a while, and finding some things, and stumbling across some things I hadn't seen, period, but I'm just beginning to accept that's the flow, so glory to God. It's good that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 is going to be our beginning. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Father, we proclaim liberty this morning. Father, I take authority over any spirit of bondage that would try to come upon us this morning. We declare the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is free to flow in our hearts and in our lives. We declare the Word of God is mightier and stronger, Lord, than any opposition that the enemy would try to raise against it. And we declare in the name of Jesus, devil, your knee is going to bow. We're going to take our land. We're going to take our possessions because the Word's promised it to us. Father, give us a heart this morning, Lord, to receive. Give us a heart to grasp the covenant. Give us a heart this morning, Lord, to lay hold of that which you've promised and that which has been given unto us. Father, we give ourselves to you this morning as your servants. And we ask, Lord, that you use us to minister the Spirit and the life of God in this place. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Know ye not. Whenever you find those three words in the New Testament, Paul is saying this is something that you ought to already know. But because you probably aren't walking in it, I want to remind you. Somebody say, oh me. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Knox translation says, run for the victory. I want to lay a principle in our heart this morning. I believe God's looking for a generation. And God's looking for a people. I believe in the foreknowledge of God, He knows who that generation is and who that people is. But I believe that the invitation is open to every generation. I believe that the generation is, the invitation is open to whosoever will. But God knows who's going to take the heart for it. But beloved, I believe there's a lot left up to us in whether or not we're going to be a people who are going to run to obtain or whether we're going to be a people who are going to play on the way. Hello. Paul said, run for the prize. Run for the victory.
Take off running like you're out ahead of the pack, but you don't want anybody to catch up. Amen? I thank God that that's not the way it is. Like our brother said yesterday, we're just supposed to finish this race, and I'm glad. But our attitude needs to be, God, I've got to use every ounce of the energy and the life that you've given me in the pursuit of your goal. Every man that strives for the mastery, let me do a little paraphrasing on that. Every man that struggles for the prize is self-controlled. Every man that struggles for the prize is self-controlled in all things. Demons feed on flesh. Isn't that true, brother? Our flesh is not the enemy, but our flesh is what the enemy uses. We've got to run the enemy out of our land, but we've got to exercise control over our land. A man with no will, a man who controls not his own spirit, is like a city without walls. Every man that's struggling for the prize has come to the understanding that he must treat himself like an athlete in training. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Remember, I think David Alsobrook said it one time. He said, in the Pentecostal ranks, we've been taught so many years, crucify, crucify, crucify. He said, now, if you carry it to extreme, you can starve the devil to death. Hello? But I think sometimes, glory to God. It's a matter of controlling the devil, yes, but it's also a matter of giving no place to the devil. Amen? I appreciate that scripture. Our brothers quoted it several times. Jesus said, the wicked one cometh, but he's found nothing in me. That's a goal. Every man that struggles for the prize is self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a crown made of pine, but we for an incorruptible. Glory to God. I therefore, listen to me, so run, not as uncertainly. Taylor translation says, I run with purpose in every step. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know what my direction is. I'm not out jogging. Come on, somebody listen to me. Jogging's all right, but that's not what he's doing. I so fight not as one that beats the air. The Olympic boxers didn't train the way ours do. Our Olympic boxers or any boxer, they get sparring partners. You know what I mean? And the purpose is to hit as close without hitting. You don't want to hurt a sparring partner. You want to train and you want, but you don't want to hurt them. They put on extra pads and you don't give it all that you got. But Paul said, I'm not in training, I'm in the fight. And when I make a punch, I want it to land. Hello. When I swing my fist, I want to hit the right object. Hello, how many ever figure you found yourself a sparring partner? No, I didn't say that clear enough. Brother, have you ever found yourself sparring with another brother? Are you listening? Let's hit the enemy. Let's make every punch count. Paul said, I'm running with direction. I'm hitting with decision. I play for keeps. A friend of mine told a story. Any of y'all ever play marbles when you were kids? This brother said that's what they did. We did too every day, but it was his story. But every day all the boys would gather around out in the second grade in recess, and you'd sit out on the porch or out in the schoolyard, and you'd draw the circle, and everybody had their little bag of marbles, and you'd put your marbles out there, and you'd play. And you know marbles is almost gambling because you knock people's marbles out, but at the end of the game, everybody got their marbles back. Well, one day there was a new kid, and he had apparently been set back a grade because he was about 8 inches bigger than anybody else in there and kind of broad and mean and not real bright, and he went in to play marbles with him. Well, he's a good marble shooter, and he pretty well ended up with everybody's marbles. At the end of the game, he proceeded to put all those marbles in the bag. And somebody said, well, we just play for funsies here. He said, I never play for funsies. I play for keepsies. Is anybody listening? We've got to develop an attitude if we're playing it for keeps. Amen? It's amazing sometimes how lightly we take the things of the Lord. But none of them are light. They're all real. It's a reality that we're living in. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection. Lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul said, I've called many to the race. How many know that's true? I mean, he called a whole continent to the race. He through his word, he's called us to the race. But Paul said, I've got to keep myself under control unless after I've called somebody else to the race, I get disqualified for running against the rules. Wow. Hello? How many are here this morning? Let's start from the top. Amen. Moreover, brethren, tying it together, I would not that you should be ignorant how that how many? All our fathers, the fathers of the faith, the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, were under the cloud and passed through the sea. So what? So they were led and protected by the Spirit, and they were led through the waters of baptism. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the Spirit, and in the sea, in the water. Positionally, they had that equipment. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. Beck's translation says the food of the Spirit. They also partook of heavenly manna. Hello. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. They all drank of the spiritual rock that was with them, and that rock was Christ Jesus. They drank of the anointing. Stop and think about that a second. Positionally, they were led and protected by the Spirit. They were watched over by God. They were under God's covering. They were led by that cloud of glory everywhere they went. They passed through the waters and they passed through the cloud. They ate food from heaven and they drank water from the rock. Now what do we have that they didn't have? In that context, no, that rock followed them. It was Christ. I know we're under a better covenant, a better dispensation. That's not my point. My point is they had the equipment and they didn't make it. And we've got the equipment. But with many, this is the most merciful understatement I've ever read in my life. Out of a nation of more than 2 million, God found 2 men that he wasn't mad at, and it says with many of them, God was not well pleased. I mean, that's mercy. Because there were only 2 of them. God didn't want 3 of them if you count Moses, but there were Caleb and Joshua and Moses. God said, Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to kill him. With many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown, strown in the wilderness. You can turn back to Numbers. We're going to take over there. But I want to speak plainly, lest any man misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe that there are moves and outflows of the Spirit of God. You see the flow and you see the ebb, and you see the flow and you see the ebb. Now in the flow, everything's moving and God's moving His people, and we've got the cloud and the sea and the glory, and how many know what I'm talking about? How many have been filled with the Spirit at least 10 years? 8 years? How many have seen a definite slacking off of the move of God on a scale nationally? You know what I'm talking about? You used to see meetings of 3,000 and 4,000 people where everybody laying in the floor. Deliverance wasn't a rare thing. I remember going to meetings, 2,000 people with 3 teachers. It's like a 3-ring circus. And it wasn't any different than what we're believing God for right now. But there's that flow, and then there's a backing off, and then there's a flow, and then there's a backing off. And I also liken it to the generation that comes out and has the opportunity of going in. But mostly, in fact, in every generation, the generation that came out has chosen not to go in. And we see a dying out process in the wilderness, and another generation has to come up. And that generation, for the Word's sake, will rise up and they'll go in, they'll have their coming out and their chance to go in. And the in between the out and the in is the dangerous part. The in between the out and the in is where we can get caught up and become denominations or cults or cliques or schisms or our little swampy, murky, off in the corner by ourselves kind of flows. And I believe the body of Christ right now, at least in this nation, I'm not like Brother Parrish. I can't say what God's doing throughout all the earth. I've not had the privilege of seeing that. But what I've seen, Peter said we can only speak those things which we've seen and heard. And what I've seen and heard in the Spirit and what I've seen and heard in the body of Christ is that there's a dying out process right now. And we're looking for a generation that's going to rise up and accept the Word and move in. But I think there's a lot of lessons we can learn from the generation that didn't go in. You see, they got what they believed God for. God said, it's all before you, you can have it. And they said, we can't take it. We'll die in the wilderness. And the Lord said, thus saith God. I'm trying to give a corporate vision, but I don't want to minister corporately. We want to minister individually. I want to try to bring some truth as to how lying spirits and cause your self-image to be crippled and cause you to lose sight of who you are and who you can be. And yes, it's the devil working against us. But we allow him to cripple ourselves. And ultimately, we're the only ones to blame. Because God gave us authority to drive him out. But we got to have the want to. It's just like getting somebody delivered from alcohol. If you get that want to, you ain't getting nowhere with them. Hello? You got to want it more than anything. You got to want the things of God to the extent that nothing else means anything. I think we're still in yesterday. We're still in the theme, but I don't think God's changed it. It's all there. We can have it all. We can go deeper and deeper and deeper in the things of God and richer in the power of God. But it's still going to move by our will, at least in our life. We're going to begin in Numbers chapter 13, in verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. I want to stand up for God right here. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, that the reason he told Moses to send spies in the land was because the people murmured that they wanted spies. I don't want to blame this idea on God or Moses. I've heard people do both. Well, you know, Moses made a mistake, sending no spies in there. Well, Moses did what God told him to. But God did what the people demanded. You know, sometimes God will do that. He'll give us what we don't need because we keep asking. Oh, me. But there's a principle at work here. Send thou men that they may search, underline the word search, the land of Canaan which I gave unto the children of Israel. The word there in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, is the same word translated as forerunner in Hebrews 6 and 20, speaking of Jesus. Send thou forerunners into the land. Now, I want you to know this morning, just in case you happen to be one, that God does have some forerunners. Hallelujah. Somebody listen to me. Have you found yourself just a little out of step with what God seems to be doing in everybody else's life? Amen? Everybody else is coming into, oh, isn't it wonderful? And you're already the past, isn't it wonderful? And into the how do we move on stage. Amen? God's got some forerunners. I said, God's got some forerunners. Amen? Now that I've encouraged you, let me pop your balloon. Only two of the forerunners brought a good word. Hello, it's dangerous being a forerunner. Now let me encourage you. God knew how tough it was going to be before he picked you. Hello? I tell you, the foreknowledge of God, God knows our generation. He knows what we're facing. He knows the economy of the world. He knows the movings of the enemy. But before the foundation of the earth, God knew what we were going to be facing now and in the next 10 years. But yet, God foreordained that you and I be alive to face it. Now that ought to let you know what God thinks of you. Well, amen. Listen, beloved, if we aren't secure in him, we aren't going to be secure at all. Amen. We might as well learn to brag on Jesus. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Verse 21. So they went up from the land of the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab as the men come to Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishaiah, Talmiah, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, that is a cluster, because of a cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now 40 days, 40 is the number of testing. But the word brook there, it doesn't normally speak of a running stream. It speaks of a dried up creek bank, but there's still underground water. We might call it a oasis. In the dry, parched land, there would be pockets where there would be moisture enough to keep trees and plants alive, but not necessarily running water. What I'm trying to tell you is what they brought back was just a little bitty sample of what God had. But that one little bitty sample, one cluster of grapes, had to be carried by two men on one pole. I want you to know that the dry places in God are more fruitful than anything you've ever dreamed of. Hello? I said the dry places in God are more fruitful than anything you've ever dreamed of. And we ain't talking about rivers yet. Glory to God. I mean, God's the foolishness of God's wiser than the wisdom of men. God at his weakest makes the world tremble. That's good sample. But don't settle for the sample. Well, brother, I got it now. I got the Holy Ghost. I got me a cluster of grapes so big I can't carry it myself. Well, you going into the land? Oh, no, I'm going to stay back here and eat my grapes. Bless God, and it's wonderful. Well, you going to go out there and take them? No way. I ain't going out there and fight. That ain't my ministry. Don't get me involved in that warfare. I like them grapes. Hello. Don't settle for the sample. Yeah. No, all I'm saying is don't settle for what appears to you to be the best thing you've ever had, because God's still got more. Hello. One little taste of liberty, y'all, compared to the bondage we've grown up in all our life, is such a tremendous... I'm only trying to tell you there's a whole lot more in God. Isn't that right? There's a whole lot more to be had than what you can carry in one sitting. And they came into the brook of Eschol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates of the figs. Verse 25, and they returned after searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and showed unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people that dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the... dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. Here's a man with wisdom. He stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Whenever you hear the roar, run to it. Whenever you receive the revelation that you can, don't take time to let somebody talk you out of it. It's been my experience that the world doesn't care anymore. They wrote me off as crazy. I remember when it happened. It was all right getting saved for a few of them, but when I got the Holy Ghost and said, no thanks, I don't need to get high anymore. When I said, yeah, it's all right for you to go out there and date girls and all my Christian friends who were in all of the mess that the world was in, and I said, no, thank you, I found something that's so exciting, it makes all of that seem dull. And they said, you're crazy. And you know, I didn't have to leave the world then. I mean, they left me quick as they could get gone. The word was out. He did it this time, y'all. He's finally gone too far. I think he took one too many trips. Bless my dad's heart, it took a year before he figured out it was real. I don't blame him. He'd seen such... well, the world gave up on me. But since the day I got saved, there's always been a well-meaning brother or sister to stand there and tell me you can't do it. I said a well-meaning brother and sister, they usually love me, to give me a list of the reasons I can't do it. Amen. Brother, let me tell you what God showed me about you. Oh, please, please. Don't do that. Hello? Wait till somebody turns that thing on you. No, don't get now. I know God gives discernment, but the gift of suspicion ain't God. I'm not through yet. There's lying spirits that operate in the church. And I believe they're 90% of the cause of disunity we have. Lying spirits, and we don't recognize it. And if the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And we saw there the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. In our own sight. In our own sight. In our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in theirs. We were in our own, we were in theirs. We allow the enemy to lie to us and tell us we're nothing and we'll never be anything. We allow the enemy to lie to us and tell us brothers and sisters are nothing and they'll never be anything. And we actually multiply the size of the enemy by shrinking ourselves. When they were first grasshoppers in their own sight, then the enemy was big. Come here, Raymond. God bless your heart. I just pick on you all the time. I'm going to play the advocate here. Yeah, I want you to sit right there. Just sit there, mind your own business. You can smile or praise the Lord, just whatever you'd be normally doing, and I'm going to act like the voice of the enemy. But you know one thing I've learned about the enemy? He never says, thus saith the devil. He never says, hey, this is me. I'm fixing to tempt you. Watch out now. Give it. Yeah, he's not that way. They don't wear army boots. Wear sneakers.
Hey, Lyman, you see that fellow back there in the back? Did you see the way he looked at you when you came in? Okay, he didn't like you. He can't stand you. You should have heard what he was saying about you last night. Look at the way he's looking at you.
It's all right. Let him look.
Hello? Meantime, he's back there with Brother Harold saying, man, you see that Raymond? I tell you, he's got it out for you. Hello? I pastored 3.5 years. I learned this the hard way. He used it against me. Amen? I'm an expert at this. Hello? I'm an expert on how to get paranoid. The one time I was an expert on being depressed and discouraged. Because I didn't learn to say, shut up, devil. I'll not receive that against my brother.
Amen.
Shut up, devil. I'll not receive that against my sister. You can sit down. Thank you, brother. He'll do it that way. He'll do it on sin. He'll say, boy, you know you really want to go out and... Don't you want to just go punch him right in the mouth? And then he'll get in the other ear and say, and you call yourself a Christian. Somebody listening to me? We were in our own side as grasshoppers. We let the enemy talk to us. We let the enemy tell us we were too small. We let the enemy tell us that the chore was too big. We let the enemy tell us that the land was unconquerable. And you know the worst part is, he was telling the truth. There were giants in the land. There were giants in the land. Let me do that different. There are giants in the land. Is anybody listening? There are walled cities. There is a plague in the land. It does eat up the inhabitants thereof. But that doesn't change a thing. God still said, we're more than enough to do it. I said, we're more than enough to do it. We're more than enough to do it. We can take the land. Are you listening? I can take my land. You can take your land. And together we can take the land. We can be the generation that enters in. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Had a prayer meeting. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said unto them, oh, I would to God that we died in the land of Egypt. I would to God that we died in this wilderness. Dear God, why'd you ever tell me about this Holy Ghost stuff? I was happy back here in my Baptist church. Why'd you have to mess with me? I was happy in my ignorance. Why'd you ever have to tell me about this? I tell you, it's been nothing but trouble ever since I heard about the devil. Yeah, yeah. Well, amen. You shoot the postman if he brings a bad letter. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And they said, well, why did you get us into this mess? And listen. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land against God to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. In Genesis 11:4, there were a group of men who were going to build a tower. The foundation of Babylon, and they said, let us make us a name for ourselves. Let us make a captain. You get discouraged enough at seeing your own self, and the first thing you want to do is find a system that's going to take you back to a place of safety. Hello? Let's elect somebody. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. If God delights in us. Does God delight in you? Now, let's not give in to peer pressure. Let's look at our heart and let's say, does God delight in me? You better say yes. Amen. Don't let that condemnation masquerade as conviction.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Well, this is for free too. I'll tell you the difference between condemnation and conviction. It's easy. Conviction is piercing. It's a sword. It says, that's holding you back and I want to set you free from it. Condemnation is an old heavy blanket that sits on your shoulders and says, you no good dog, you'll never amount to nothing. And in the old Pentecostal ranks, we've been teaching them condemnation's conviction. We think it's a virtue to run around beat down like an old whip. John Osteen told the story about taking his dog walking. Had a great big, it was either a German Shepherd or a Collie. It was a great big dog. He was walking him out on a leash. And this, as they were walking along, this little bitty old terrier came running out from the yard just yipping and yapping. And John Osteen thought, boy, he better hope I hold on to this leash. My dog's going to kill him. And that dog just kept tormenting him. About that time, his dog broke away and took off running from that little terrier. John said, I got home, wouldn't take that dog out for a month. How many got kids? When your child comes up to you and honestly looks you right in the face and says, Dad, why this, or I need so-and-so, or there's that honest, open communication, you want to, you'll either do what they say or tell them why I want you. But if they come in whining and begging, and I send mine to bed. Hello, church. Hello, church. Does God delight in you? Why? How many know God's Word says some good things about you? Huh? All right, tell me something good God says about you. In His image. All right? Righteousness. Okay? No, He says about you. All right, more than a conqueror. Okay? Holy? What? His Son. Good. Another one? Temple. He'll never leave us. He loves us. Amen. Huh? All right. Inseparable. That's good. All right? No, about you. Oh, you'll tabernacle. What? Yeah, amen. You're already his tabernacle or his temple. Here you are. We have birthright, okay? We have covenant. Good. Again? Joint heir, very good. Anybody? Oh, man, seated at the right hand of God, good. You got power? All right. We got that one. Authority, hey, very good. Keep going. Oh, yes, amen, just as much. Anybody else? Yes, amen, He carries us, bears us up. Anybody healed? Amen. Anybody in hell? Amen. Prospered? Deliverance. Amen. All right. Restore. All right. Forgiveness. All right. He leads us. Anybody got his nature? Anybody partaking of the divine nature? Anybody got his name? Anybody got his birthright? Yeah, I do, don't I? Well, y'all are getting the idea. We've got His Word and His Spirit. We know there's a whole lot more. We could do that all day long. But God says all of those things about you. Is that right? No, everybody. Is that what God says about you? You mean He isn't going to disqualify you from those? Are you sure? Isn't that good? God said all of that stuff about you. Well, what did He say about the one sitting next to you? Did it sink in? Did it sink in?
No.
Don't let the enemy accuse you to you or accuse somebody else to you.
Amen.
Hello? I'm convinced if the children of Israel would have known, or if those 10 would have known at least. See, when Joshua and Caleb said, we're able to go up and take the land, they didn't just say that those two were willing to. They were able to go up and take the land. They said, we, the nation, we're able to go up and take the land. They saw a potential in those 10 spies that they didn't see themselves. Oh, amen. We were grasshoppers in our own sight. Then we became in the enemy's sight. Why do you think he laughs at the church and makes sport of it?
Yeah.
It's because the church is just seeing themselves in such a smallness. I was a carpenter for a few weeks. That was one of my major lessons in presumption. But one of the few lessons I learned as a carpenter was something called the pattern board. And when you want to make 30 or 40 boards all the same length, you don't get a ruler and mark one board, and then you take that board to do the next one, and then the next board to do the next one, and then the next board. If you do, the boards will start out here, and they'll end up like this. You make a pattern board, and you use the pattern board to mark every cut. every board is the same length.
Yes.
And Jesus is the pattern board.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. We started with a Jesus. And today most folks are looking at a Jesus. Hello. We started with a Christian. And a lot of folks are looking at a Christian. We were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so we became in theirs. And all the congregation said, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Excuse me, verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Everybody ready for your marching orders? I've only got two for you. I've only got two. Everybody ready? Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. You got two things to remember. Don't rebel toward God, and don't be afraid of the enemy. It's pretty simple, isn't it? If we're afraid of God, we don't have to be afraid of anybody else. That's it. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, and don't fear the people of the land. For their defense, oh, what a beautiful word. It's the same word translated as shadow in Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Their shadow, their defense, their covering, their protection's gone. Woo! When Jesus crushed his head, he crushed his head. The protection of their government is gone. The wicked one is in a camp of confusion. Hello. Man, even devil worshipers can't get together. You think Christians are in disunity? You ought to talk to some of these cult folks. There's at least 12 different brands of witchcraft, none of which will accept that the other kind even exist. There's four different churches of Satan. All of them disagree on even who Satan is. Their defense is gone from them. Listen, the body of Christ can have unity. The world can't. Somebody listen to me. The reason we have unity is because we've already got unity. Nobody heard that. We've already got unity. How many know the Holy Ghost is at unity? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The henotes, as one man. We don't have to make unity. Like our brother said, that'll get you in trouble. The unity movement's based on man-made unity. That's not what we got to do. We got to keep what we got. We get one with God and we'll be one with each other. But all the congregation said, let's kill them. You know, that was one of the sweetest messages they just told them. Did you hear it? They said, we're able to do it. Bless God, the enemy's defeated. We can go take the land. You'd think you'd get popular preaching a message like that. They said, yeah, come on. Time for the altar call. Amen. I've had some rough services, but I've never had them pick up rocks yet. I've had some where they threw some daggers at me. Everybody smile at me. I love you. But I've never had them throw rocks at me yet. Well, they were ready. And all the congregation bade stone them with stones. But listen, and the glory of the Lord appeared into the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. I want to tell you something, y'all. You never have to defend yourself. Somebody listen. I said you don't have to defend yourself. That's good news. Some of the best news you're going to hear. And you don't have to defend God. That's even better. In fact, you blow it every time you try, don't you? Amen. That's one of the first lessons I had to learn was that I didn't have to defend me and I didn't have to defend God. I was working at a secular job and there was a brother there who was what they call hard shell Baptist. Independent, fundamental, everything they believed was on their sign out in front of the church. And every week he'd bring me new stuff on tongues. Because he knew I spoke in tongues and he's determined he's going to get me set free from it. But he brought me all these articles about tongues, and they were so offensive, and I was so young in the Lord. One of the articles called said something about tongues sounding like a bunch of disenchanted magpies, just mean stuff. And I just about taken all I could stand. And all the fellas that worked there, we all had coffee in the same place every morning. He and I were the only Christians. That is assuming he is one. No, he is. I'm kidding. I got over that spirit. He's a good brother, really. He loves me again now, too. But anyway, that morning, he decided he's going to pick on me in front of everybody. So he started into me again. And all of a sudden, it was righteous indignation. That's what I call it. Righteous indignation came over me. And I took out my little New Testament. And I opened up to 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and I cut him to ribbons right in front of everybody. All those guys just standing with their mouth open. I amazed myself that I knew so much word. I mean, I ripped his heart out and gave it to him for breakfast. And I went home that day going, wow. I sure set him straight. And I picked up my Bible. I was going to read. You know how sometimes you know before you pick it up, before you open it, that God's fixing to speak to you as soon as you do? Yeah. I picked it up and I opened it and looked down, and there it said, because of you, the word of God is blasphemed among the heathen. And a month later, I finally crawled out from under the bed. We don't have to defend ourselves. We get of the wrong spirit. James and John came to Jesus and they said, Lord, this city, this whole region has rejected your ministry. Do you want us to pray down fire from heaven like Elijah did? I think they meant it. I won't say their heart was right, but I think their intent was right. The Lord said, careful, boys. Careful now. There seems to be time for deliverance. Moving in a wrong spirit here. You're getting a whole wrong flavor about you. Are we listening? With the body of Christ and members one of another, we've not only got to build each other up, we've got to build ourselves up. And they came into Jesus and they said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He said, I'll give you two in one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. And the second is just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Somebody hear me this morning. We've got to love ourselves. And we've got to take that love. And we've got to love our brothers and our sisters. I said it once, I'll say it again. God showed me this year that I'm to treat the body of Christ the way I want other men to treat my wife. The same respect and the same love. Gently and reverently. Hello. I ain't very big, but you mess with my wife and see if you can't get me in the wrong spirit. I think it's time for the body of Christ to realize who we can be and start acting like it. Because it's nothing but lying demons tearing us apart. And I don't know of a church this year that hadn't had a shaking. Not one that I found yet hadn't either had a split or an exodus. And although there have been some doctrinal things, most of it's been pettiness. People get their nose out of joint about something, and I'm not saying it's all of it, but that's at least entered into it. There's a dying generation in the wilderness. Oh, I'm not through. I better hurry. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? This generation saw more miracles. Can you imagine all of the plagues in Egypt, and then to see the death angel, and to see every firstborn son smitten in the land of Egypt, and the cattle and the sheep and the oxen? To have a pillar of fire lead the entire nation up to the Red Sea, to move behind them and protect them, and to hold the Egyptian army at bay. When Moses held his rod, the wind came in and divided a whole sea. They marched across on dry land. They got to the other side and looked back, and God let the waters fall upon the Egyptians. They marched a few days and came to the waters of Marah, and it was bitter, and the people murmured. But God said, throw a log, throw a tree, throw the cross in that water. And the waters were healed. They rained down manna from heaven, and every morning they went out. And to prove it was God, if they disobeyed the word, it was worm-eaten. They got thirsty, and Moses struck a rock, and water came out. Miracle after miracle after... If I could only see, brother, I could believe. You know, if I could only see somebody go into an insane asylum and set one of those folks free, then I'd believe in deliverance. I've heard people say that. Wouldn't make a bit of difference. If I could only see someone receive a creative physical miracle, if I could see a hand or a foot grow out, then I'd know that God heals. Wouldn't change a thing. Jesus said if you saw the dead raised, it wouldn't. If God let somebody out of hell to come warn you, you wouldn't listen. That generation saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and they would not go in. Verse 19. The Lord had told Moses, get out of my way, I'm going to kill him. And Moses said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people,
according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. The Hebrew word means thou hast carried their sins upon you. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live. When God promised Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God said, as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. He said, Moses, this generation, all right. I gave them the chance to go in and they wouldn't do it. Yeah, I've forgiven them. Yeah, my mercy extends. I've covered their sin. I'm going to allow them to have rest with me. But I'm not lowering my standards. There's still going to be a generation that's going to flow in the glory of God. This revival may not have done it. That's true. There may be some good brothers and sisters stuck off in the first church of the slime pit somewhere. And we may see them. We may see them around the throne. They may find a place with God. I'm not going to come against who they are or what they are in God. But the Lord says, I'm still not lowering the standards. I'm still looking for a generation, because the whole earth is going to be filled with my glory, saith the Lord. As surely as I live, the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. As surely as I live, the glory of the latter house shall be more than the former. As surely as I live, I'm going to give them the former and latter rains in the same season. As surely as I live, the reaper is going to overtake the sower. As surely as I live, there's going to be a generation that's going to see the glory of God sweep through the earth. As surely as I live, saith the Lord, there's going to be a people who will rise up like the generation in the wilderness who had not seen one miracle, but for the sake of the word of their fathers. They marched through the Jordan. They died out to live upon the word. Upon the word. Upon the word. Because God says it. Because God says it. Because God says it. Beloved, we're able because He's able. We're able because He's enabled us. I don't know if I'm scolding you or encouraging you. Or maybe I'm scolding you because you hadn't been encouraging yourself. But we need to see that He delights in us. He's not the enemy. And neither are our brothers and sisters. We need to hate the enemy. But we don't need to get a spirit of hate. And we don't need to turn it on us. Am I in the right place?
Yeah.
We're going to pray in a minute. Let me see if I can find it. I want to read you a scripture. Luke 6 and verse 36 from the Amplified. So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as your Father is all of these. Acquit and forgive and release. Give up resentment and let it drop, and you'll be acquitted, forgiven, and released. We're going to get delivered this morning from the accuser. But we're going to start out by breaking the root. We're going to forgive. We're going to choose to forgive. How many have had opportunity in the last few months, I'd say this year, to have a few people to harbor hurt against? Amen. How many have had a few people that you could hold on to that resentment pretty easy? Let me give you some wisdom. You can't make yourself feel different. You can make a choice to forgive. And you can trust God to bring deliverance or healing or whatever's needed to get those emotions in line. And it starts with a choice. A choice, if you don't make, you're cut out of God. And I don't even know how to say that. I've studied sin and its consequences. And the one sin I can find that'll cut you off from God immediately is unforgiveness. And until that's dealt with, it blocks every flow of God. Healing, deliverance, health, life, prosperity, anything. And what's more is every single one of us have been through circumstances to make that choice over and over and over again. Not any one of us are different. But brother, you just don't know how hard it's been on me. You don't know how hard it's been on me.
I've had people call me names. I've had people come against my wife and child. I've had people speak against the ministry. So who cares? Big deal. Amen? Ain't nothing but the devil. Ain't nothing but the devil. One brother was talking about he was asleep one night and he heard something at the door and he woke up. He was in a night vision, but he didn't know if he was awake or asleep. And he opened the door he got up out of bed and he went over and he opened the door. And there he stood, the evil one in his darkness and his just covering the room. And he said, "Oh, it's just you." Went back to sleep. Amen. Who cares? Big deal. And when you compare it to eternity, that's all it is nothing. There's no human experience. We've not suffered under blood and the endurance against sin. Our brother back there in Central America, he may have had that opportunity. I hadn't. Nobody's tried to shoot me for being a Christian. I thought I'd had it tough, but I ain't had nothing. I was in the first church for a few months, and I was talking to a sister one day, the day I got saved, I just knew we were going through tribulation. I was real grateful. Everybody asked me what was I for. I got saved and I was a heathen. Charismatics are always charismatic Baptists or charismatic Catholics. I was just a charismatic heathen. I wasn't anything. But she and I were talking about tribulation. And I said, "Well, sister, it says in the Word that through tribulation we must enter the kingdom." And she said, "Well, my television set causes me tribulation." I said, "Well, change the channel." Hello? It's real deep stuff here this morning. Boy, every time I get near Sister So-and-so, she always has an evil word for me. Well, why don't you tactfully avoid her? Well, sometimes you can't. When you can't, that's all right. But when you can do it. I tell you what you can do is you can be an aggressive lover. You'd be amazed what that'll do to people. When there's somebody who just speaks evil of you, every time you get near them, you just run up and give them a big hug and say, "God bless you. I just love to see you." Amen. Somebody's been speaking evil against you and you know it. You know what you want to do. Well, I'm going to get them. I'm going to... Just go love them. Yeah, but brother, that's no fun. It is. You have no idea how much fun that can be to completely disarm someone. Yeah, but that's just being hypocritical. If I don't feel love, I'm not going to tell him I love him. Since when is love feelings? Has anybody not heard that? Love is a covenant. It is a decision. It has nothing to do with emotions. I've had people come to me and they've been married several years and they say, "Well, we aren't in love anymore. I just don't feel love toward my wife." I said, "Well, man, if you got married on a feeling, you were wrong anyway." Amen. Feelings come and go. How many feel saved every morning when you get up? I've learned I don't ask myself how I feel. That'll get you in trouble. Get up in the morning, "Well, how do you feel this morning, buddy?" "I feel like sleeping some more." Amen. "Well, Bob, you feel like praying some, huh?" No. "What do you feel like doing? Let's go get drunk." I've had a few of those days. I don't give into it and I don't dwell on it. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Let's just write it off. Backslide. That's it. You got to understand that anything to do with God, it isn't stuck in your feeling realm. You got to control your feeling realm. Is that okay? Well, amen. The reason I'm joking, I'm trying to get you lighthearted. Because so many of you are looking like this and you're looking at an enemy that can't be whooped. And you're going to worry yourself right out of any help. I learned that about the ministry. I had a real complex about the pastor. Because I had so many people tell me I couldn't possibly be a pastor because I didn't minister like one. Yeah. You know? So I'd start trying to act like all the preachers I knew. That was a mistake. And every time I'd try to do something, I'd blow it. Hello? You got to be you. I'm not telling you to act fake and phony. All I am trying to tell you is it's not your nature to sit around and be depressed and mad. In fact, I bet you didn't do that in the world. few of you may have. If you have, my brother, we definitely got some deliverance to come, amen, get that rage and anger out of the way. But most Christians I meet, they talk themselves into most of their battles.
Amen.
They really do. This is for keeps.
Yeah.
It's a real world, a real God. The word of the Lord is being whole, being sound, having integrity. That means being the same person on the outside you are on the inside, and the same on the inside that you are on the outside. It means being the same when you're with your wife as you are when you're in church. It means loving the people that don't like you as much as you love the people that do like you. It means being whole and sound and real. And we're going to break some roots because we're fixing to forgive en masse. Where two or three have gathered together. Amen. We're going to gather together and help pray each other through. Help pray each other through. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's all of it. Any grudge is simply holding unforgiveness. That's a grudge is a nice name that it makes it sound. It sounds better than bitterness, but it's no different. We come up nice names. Alcoholic. I heard a sister testify one time. She said, well, I would say I was an alcoholic, but the Bible doesn't have that word. I was a drunk. Amen. It's not saying, well, I've got a hang-up. Jesus didn't die for your hang-ups. It's your sins. Let's confess. Let's call it what the Word calls it. And a grudge is bitterness. Unforgiveness is to come out of covenant with God. To choose to harbor resentment towards someone is to choose your love for hatred more than your love for God. And the Word says we're murderers when we do. And y'all are getting that look on your face again. All right? Now we're playing for keeps. But God's doing it through us, and we're going to join together to do it. What I'm telling you today is you can get free. I'm not getting on to you for being bound. It's not a sin to be there. It's just a sin to stay there.
Amen.
All right? I don't even know if I should do it. I'm not going to. We're being honest. Is that all right? And there's nobody in here but us. We aren't looking around, and we don't care what everybody thinks. Anybody who's been having a battle in their own... Oh, maybe I ought to say this first before I say anything else. I've met people who come up to me and say, oh, I don't have trouble with unforgiveness toward anybody. I know two things right off the bat. They got a root of bitterness and a lying spirit. I'll say that for free. Who, me? To be aware of a conflict is to keep you fighting it. When you know that it's not easy to walk a life of forgiveness, it'll keep you before God. All right? Now, I'm not saying that to make everybody respond, because some people know they're in the battle and they're on the overcoming side, and maybe they've had teaching and maybe they've broken those roots, and that's fine. If that's not you, then I'm not trying to make you respond. I'm going to get you to help pray with us, okay? But if you're in here this morning and over the last few months or the last year, it may even be carried in from way back there, but there's been a real battle that you've been losing with resentment and unforgiveness, I want you to stand to your feet because we're all going to pray together. Amen. Nobody's looking at anybody. This is just us in here. If you've been losing the battle, I just want you to stand to your feet. Glory to God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We're all going to bow our heads and close our eyes then. Everybody's looking at everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nobody in here but us. Amen. If you have been hurt and you are still experiencing that hurt, if every time you see that person, it still causes you to wince in pain, if you're still going through those circumstances of having to fight off anger and everything else, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray with you. We're going to all pray together, and we're going to get free. Amen. We're going to break that bind. That's nothing but a root of bitterness, and we're going to break it, and we're going to get set free from it. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're still waiting on the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord's going to free us. The Lord's going to free us. Amen. The Lord's going to free us. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're still waiting on the Lord. We aren't in any hurry. We aren't in any hurry. Glory to God. We aren't in any hurry. We're going to break that root. We're going to break that root in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. I thank you that you love us and you care for us and you take care of us. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, you said if we confess our sin before you, Lord, you are faithful and just not only to forgive us, Lord, but to bring a cleansing from all unrighteousness, Lord, to free us from every effect of that, Lord. We thank you for it. Jesus, we thank you that that's your mercy. If we'll only acknowledge it before you, if we'll only confess our weakness and our inability and cast it upon you, Lord, you promise to forgive us and to free us from it. Father, we do that. We do that, Lord. We do that right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just right now with my brothers and my sisters, we agree together in prayer. And Father, we choose to forgive. We choose to forgive. Father, we ask you to bless those that have hurt us. We ask you to bless those that have spoken against us, Lord. We ask you to bless their lives and bless their ministries. Lord Jesus, we ask that you pour out your blessing and your revelation, Lord. Not just revelation that they're wrong, but revelation, Lord. Bless them. Let your blessings be upon their life. Kindle the love of God in their heart. Father, give them a new release of your joy and your strength in their life. Father, bring them, Lord, into a place of depth and stability in you. Father, we pray that you just cause them, Lord, to be able to see all that you have for them and all that you desire for them. Lord, we forgive them. We forgive them, Lord. We choose to love them. And Lord, we ask that you use us. That you use us if possible, Lord. That you use us if possible to minister life to them. Lord, give us wisdom and give us discernment. But Lord, we ask that you use us, if possible, to minister life to them. Father, we repent of unforgiveness and all bitterness. We renounce it in the name of Jesus. Everybody say this with me. We renounce bitterness. We renounce bitterness and unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, I break every curse. I break every curse of bitterness upon them, Father. I break every stronghold in their emotion. And I declare that rage and unforgiveness are going to loose them today in Jesus' name. I command it to come out and set them free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All bitterness and unforgiveness, you come out in Jesus' name. You loose those minds and you loose those emotions. You free these saints of God. You free these saints of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say this with me. Bitterness, I'll not have you. I'll not have you. I'll not have you. In Jesus' name. I choose love. I choose forgiveness. I choose the Spirit of God. I refuse all unforgiveness, all anxiety, all self-hatred. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You heard that, devil. Now you loose them. You loose them and you set them free in Jesus' name. You loose them and you set them free in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that these are going to be the servants of love. These are going to be the servants of love. Lord, these are going to be those who have been broken in the hand of their master. These are going to be those like Mary whose alabaster boxes have been broken, but the precious ointment is going to come pouring out. The precious ointment is going to come spilling out, Lord. I thank you that the conflicts and the circumstances that they've been through, Lord, are going to work to their good. Are going to work to their good, Lord. For everything that the enemy intended for evil, God, you're going to work it for good. You're going to work it for good. Lord, the enemy planned this to destroy them. But Lord, you're working it for good and you're setting them free of it, Father. You're setting them free of it, Father. You're setting them free of it, Father. Everybody stand. You're setting them free of it, Father. You're setting them free of it, Father. You're setting them free of it, Father, in Jesus' name. 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 I heard a story about a man who went into a warehouse one night and all the lights were out. And as he was walking through, he stumbled into a barrel. And in that barrel was some acid and it spilled out on his pants. And it ate a hole in his shoe and it burned his skin. And he got healed up. He worked there and he was in that same warehouse another night and he bumped into a barrel. And this barrel had honey in it. And the honey came out of the barrel and spilled on his clothes and got on his hands. And one of them burned him and the other one was sweet. The circumstances were the same. It was only the content of the barrel that was different. We've all got our cups full.
but sometimes we don't know what of until somebody spills it for us. When I was real young in the Lord, I made a disciplined effort that I was going to pray in the Spirit. I think I started with 30 minutes every morning. And I wasn't married yet, and my mother wasn't saved, and every morning I'd be about 20 minutes into that prayer, and there she'd be. And boy, I tell you, I just, there I was praying in the Spirit and off in the heavenlies, and boy, I chewed her up one side and down the other. And God said, "Now what spirit are you of?" I needed her to show me that I was having religious exercise instead of communion with God. Amen. My spirit man may have been praying and connecting with God, but my emotions were a lot more intent on making myself spiritual. You're going to have interruptions and you're going to have conflicts in your life, but God's going to send them. God's going to send them. And they're going to be our test. All right? Now, what we've tried to do here today, or what I felt like the Lord wanted us to do today, was to break some roots. Now, when you break some roots, some plants start dying. All right? You may find some other areas of your life that the hand of the Lord is on, and there may be a lot more work. There may be a lot more help that you're going to get, and I'm glad. But I really feel like that if you've stood with us and then you've meant it, and you've broken that bitterness, you can expect to see all the growth that grew out of that bitterness to die in your life. But please remember, love yourself and love your brothers and sisters, and you can keep that from happening to you again. You won't stop conflicts. He that keepeth himself, the wicked one touches him not. He that keepeth himself. Keep yourself in the love of God. Hello. Keep yourself in the love of God. And ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen, we aren't like normal folks. We've got the power of God. I heard a prophet a few years back. He didn't call him a prophet because he was in a church that didn't believe in prophets. But he was a prophet. And he and his wife traveled around, and in traveling and staying in homes, they saw all the conflicts and all the fights and all the mess in the lives of the preachers and the board members that they got to stay with. And they finally got him a motor home and started traveling in that. And somebody asked him one time, they said, "Well, brother, don't you and your wife ever fight?" He said, "No, we don't have to. We've got the Holy Ghost." Christians don't have to lose on conflicts. We've got the lover inside of us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to dismiss this, and if anyone wants any prayer, if you're sick in body and you want us to lay hands on you, if there's needs that you feel you want the Lord to meet, we've still got an afternoon service coming at 2:30.
We've got prayer meeting.
Yeah, here. Well, that's right. Amen. Amen. So we're still praying. We're still praying. I feel like today's going to be a great day in the Spirit. I feel like God's going to do some things. I feel like by the time that this day's over, we're going to experience the glory of God in some new ways. And it may just be that's why the Lord has led us. Because corporate purity starts with individual purity. And individual purity starts with a decision. That as for me and my tabernacle, I'm going to serve the Lord. So let's just pray, and we'll loose y'all corporately, but we'll just, you can find a place and pray, and we'll spend the afternoon. Well, I'll loose you, and then I'll let Glenn pray. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for your Spirit and your mercy and your tenderness. Father, I thank you that you love these so dearly and so tenderly. And Lord, indeed, you love the world. Lord, you love the world so much that you sent Jesus. You love the world, the people in the world so much that you sent Jesus. And Lord, you love us that much. And Lord, we thank you for that love and that mercy and that compassion. Oh, Father, we choose to flow in that love to us and to our brothers and sisters. Father, seal this word unto our heart. Seal our strength unto our heart. Devil, I say in Jesus' name, you are not, you are not, you are not by any lying spirits gonna stir that thing up in the hearts of these again. Because I decree, according to their repentance and according to their confession to God, they're forgiven and cleansed. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. And then any spirits, any bitterness, any unforgiveness, anything that remains, I serve notice on you today. From this very hour, they're delivered. From this very hour, they're delivered. The root is broken, and there's going to be liberty in those lives. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it'll not return void. I thank you, Lord, that we can go in, that we can possess, and that we can have and we can be all that you intend for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Terrence, go to the piano, please. Thursday at noon, we always bring all the prayer requests that have come in through the week. Pray for them. Now, the mail hasn't been opened this week since Saturday, so a lot of the prayer requests that we'll have to take them up next week after the mail gets opened. But we bring in the prayer requests here on Thursday noon, and we spend a time, generally it's 45 minutes to an hour, praying here at noon. Thursday is a day of fasting and prayer for those who call in or write in.
Or even come who want help and need requests of things in their families or individuals or whatever. And we take them up and stand in remembrance before the Lord in their behalf. We become intercessors in their behalf. And when you come here to camp meetings, why, you participate in that with us here as we do that on Thursday. Thursday is our day of fasting and prayer on behalf of these requests and other people who have nobody to pray for them, possibly. We do have some people that write us that have nobody except we who pray for them here. We count it a privilege and an honor to be able to do that, to be able to lift them up and to pray for them and stand as intercessors in their behalf. We count it a privilege that you remember us here and you be an intercessor for us in this place as you go your way. And remember that Thursday, if it comes to your mind on Thursday to fast and pray with us, we appreciate it. If you fast and pray another day, the Lord bless you in that day and in that time, and the Lord will bless you. But we do need to take time to remember needs of others. And we all have needs from time to time. Sometimes they're greater than others, and sometimes they're lesser. But we all have a need of prayer. And we need others to stand with us and to pray with us. So this morning, I'm going to ask, and then Irma will come with the request that she has, a prayer request, the telephone calls, or whatever has come in, or the mail that they have from last Thursday till Saturday, and we will take it before the Lord and pray over it and be intercessors. So, amen. And as Irma brings the prayer request, if you feel led, the Lord lays on your heart the request, and she asks, well, stand up and pray for the request. Now, before Irma comes, before I turn this over to her, and there may be some others. Amen? Okay. Yep. Praise your Father. Praise your Father. Lord, we come and stand in her stead. We lay hands on her. We anoint her with oil. We take authority over you, foul spirit of epilepsy. We bind you, you spirits of seizures. We cut you off back to the root. We go back. I go back 30 generations and break your power off of this fresh family line. In Jesus' name, I stand as a priest. I stand as a priest here, and I decree the blood of the Lord Jesus to wash and to cleanse, and I cut off the roots of it, and I bind it from her in the name of the Lord. Satan, take your hands off of her in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restoration to this brain in every way and every form in Jesus' name. I speak the healing virtue, the restoring power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus into this mind in Jesus' name. And I command these to desist in the name of the Lord. I bind you in Jesus' name. I lose you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you foul spirit of fear and fear of epilepsy, I decree in the mighty name of Jesus that you'll open no more doors. You'll open no more doors. There'll be no more fear of pain, no more fear of seizures. No more fear of hurt and embarrassment. All fear concerning this affliction is gone in Jesus' name. I decree that fear shall bring no more fruit. We stand upon the word and say, thus saith the Lord. The Lord rebuke thee, fear. The Lord rebuke thee, fear. The Lord rebuke thee, fear. Loose her mind. And Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now, Lord. I thank you right now, Father, in Jesus' name.
It may have been Elijah, but the young men in the schools of the prophets were making a pot of vegetable stuff, and they came to him and they said, "There's death in the pot." And he wasn't going to accept that. He threw that meal, the leaven, the kingdom, and he said, he threw life into the death, and life changes the death. And I feel like that's the promise of the Lord. Yes, that the life is in the blood. Yes, the life is in the blood, and the life is going to drive the death out. The death is transformed. There's no disease in that blood.
Jesus delivered from the spirit of death.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I come and stand in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name, and I stand against the spirit of premature death.
Yes.
And I take authority over you in the name of the Lord, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I loose her from you in the name of the Lord. You spirit of premature death, come off of her in Jesus' name. Come off of her. Come on. Come on. Yes. Premature death. I bind you from her in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Loose her. Loose her. Come off of her. Yes.
We all come from various environments, and I dare say there's very few people here that have ever been raised or reared in a funeral home. This girl happens to be, and that was a cause of nightmares from the time she's a little girl because of what kids would tell her at school. Kids are cruel, and they will tell other kids things, and then it frightens them. And fear is one of the main causes of entrances of evil spirits, and fear comes in when... And we as parents have even frightened our children, I believe, by telling them certain things because we didn't know any better. And I know I used to quote to my kids at 8 o'clock that Wee Willie Winkie was coming through the town upstairs and downstairs in his nightgown, crying through the lock and looking in the window or something. Are the children in their beds? Now it's 8 o'clock. And our children would go right to their beds when we'd start saying that. And that brought fear into them, I see now, but we didn't know anything about fear in those days. Never even thought about fear or a demon of fear. I praise God for all the answers to prayer that we've had this week and that we've had this year. In 1983, we've had hundreds and hundreds of letters and hundreds of prayer requests that we've prayed over faithfully. I learned a lot in the middle 60s from Derek Prince and Lydia. They were very strong on fasting and prayer, especially on days where there would be hard deliverances coming up that night. I'll never forget, and we were with them in Fremont, California, and they called us aside. We were doing the tapes and books for them, and they called us aside, and they said, "Will you be willing to fast and pray with us all day tomorrow? Because tomorrow night," he says, "I'm going to have a mass deliverance service." It was a large Assembly of God church, very, very large. And he had not spoken on it, but he had spoken on fasting. And he asked the church, as many that would, fast and pray. Now, fasting is not a very popular subject. But our flesh doesn't like to fast. It just wants to eat on time, every three times a day, you know. We get used to that pattern. So we told him we would. And I saw the tremendous results. I don't know if I've ever been in a service like that. It was packed to the doors, and the minute Brother Cloud, who was the pastor, stood up and turned around to Derek and said, "Come on, Brother Prince, the pulpit is yours," demons in the audience began to cry out against him, like in Bible days. You remember when they cried out against Jesus? And they knew their doom was coming that night. And it was... Oh, just... And he just said, "I adjure every one of you to be quiet. I'm not going to deal with you until I preach the word of God." And almost all of them simmered down. About three didn't. And he spoke it again. He said, "I adjure you, I want you all to shut up. I'm not going to deal with you until I preach the word of God." And he was very, knowing him, how firm he is. But at the end of the service, when he gave the command, I'll never forget, there were two girls, daughters of doctors. And they had long black hair. And when he came against the Ouija board, they just walked right up to him with their long fingernails and hands and just tried to claw his eyes out. Of course, they never done it because he rebuked the enemy. But he taught us a lot.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.